KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, brought to you by Ford. Built for Texas, built for you. It is the Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager. It is Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, folks. And you guys, good to be on with you today. And boy, is it exciting lining up here against Detroit. You can tell I've been out going through my cheerleading. I've lost my voice.
Oh, no.
Put me in, coach. I'm hot.
Has all the cheerleading surrounded what we've all hoped to hear and what Dak said yesterday, that he's ready, coach, put him in, and it's time to start Dak Prescott?
That's correct. From his ability to basically throw the ball and to throw it in a scrimmage-type situation, working with the team, running the plays, the different drills that we do that are what we call teamwork. He looked the part and is the part, and his personal sensitivity in his thumb is not sensitive. It's not sensitive when he's doing it or the next morning after he's done it.
Do you get I know there's a lot of excitement happening around the Metroplex right now with Dak coming back. I could tell you're excited as well. And I want to get back to the Cowboys in just one second. I was curious, do you get frustrated when things get leaked out at the owners' meetings at all? And can you tell us, yay or nay, if you told Robert Kraft not to F with you?
Well, first of all, I've just gotten used to the fact that when you're saying something, it's highly likely that it could be being recorded or it could be being heard and will be repeated. And that's in various things. And I've just gotten used to that. So consequently, I really don't say things that it's almost like every time I talk, it's like talking to you guys over the air here. And so that goes with it. The interest or the, if you will, the awareness that I have creates, you know, a lot of look-see. So in answer to your question, it's not surprising to me or, frankly, disappointing to me that anything that's said in a meeting that you would think would really have a lot of real exclusivity or really protection so that you could really express your feelings. It's not surprising to me that it's out, would get out. And certainly when you are in those situations, you express yourself with people you know and people are around a lot, and you express yourself in different ways. And I would say that in this particular case, it's probably accurate that I did express myself in probably a way that's not in good taste.
I'm hoping you can give everybody insight if you choose to. What is it about the way the league maybe structures the Goodell thing that you think just deserves like a little bit more discussion?
Well, let me be real clear. I'm a real supporter of Goodell as our commissioner. I think he's done outstanding, and he's been commissioner with a structure, with a governance that's very unique. It is not like a normal business structure. It is more like a family structure. You don't have pure, bright rules of law. Are we still connected?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You don't have real bright rules of law. The NFL is actually, if I were going to compare it to something, I would compare it to a homeowners association. I'd compare it to a trade association. And you have things that are obligations or things that you're sensitive about that go beyond just pure black and white things that we think of law. And law is not black and white, as we all know. So it's a different structure. And consequently, when you run into very difficult, hard problems, we had one we addressed this, have been addressing for months, and one we addressed that we got worked out with Los Angeles regarding a financial matter. That's what this structure is about. What you were hearing from me, or what you heard, was an issue with the structure. regarding how we were going to address the commissioner or his successor. And so I was basically expressing myself in that area, not my support of Roger. As a matter of fact, I actually stood up and made a nomination for his potential extension. And then when I heard the structure of how we were going to approach it, then I didn't agree with that. So that's what you were saying. Now, that's kind of a that's my answer.
Man, that's a really clear answer right there.
I appreciate that.
To the point of obligations and the HOA, I like that comparison there. Do you kind of feel obligated to back Dan Snyder as things go along or other owners whenever they're in troubled situations?
Not at all. I'm just not aware of the kind of issues. I hear the media speculation, but that's all I hear. That's not supported by tangible facts. Those are being presented and being looked at, and I'm sure there's other things, but you could do those other things on any subject matter. But I'm not aware of anything myself that rises to the level that is being speculated about whether or not he's with the Washington team or not.
Well, Jerry, appreciate all the business conversation there. I did want to, like, when you turn over the reins to Dak, do you give Cooper Rush a firm handshake and say thanks? How do, like, you approach, the backup quarterback there?
Well, you're a play away from welcoming him back. If your handshake meant good job, bye, you're one snap away from possibly having that happen. And so what you are when I grab that hand is I know a lot more than I did 5 weeks ago about what kind of shape we're in if we don't have Dak, and we're in good shape. We're in outstanding shape.
I think everyone feels good about CeeDee Lamb. I just wanted to check in because I know he was between limited and full and practices, and he'd been working through a hip injury. We feel good about CeeDee Lamb for Detroit and going forward.
I think he's full-blown, ready to go without any compromise health-wise.
Jerry, I'm kind of – you had Dan Campbell here as a tight end during the Bill Parcells era, and I'm just – this guy is – we've seen him do all the hard knock stuff. He's got passion. What are your thoughts on seeing Dan Campbell on the other sideline this week?
I think he's a natural-born coach. I thought he had the temperament, frankly, the physical skills to be an outstanding player. I thought he was. And so he has that – added positive dimension that he's played in the NFL, and he played the game the way it was supposed to be played with everything he had regarding his commitment. He is that kind of coach, and I admired him when he stepped in down at Miami and took over a temporary head coaching job at a very young age. He's an outstanding coach. He's going to be formidable, in my view, for years to come in the NFL, and he is an outstanding coach today, and I've seen some very good things that he's doing there in Detroit.
So, Jerry, what specific player or what on Detroit kind of worries you on Sunday as they haven't got off to the best of starts this year?
Oh, I think their quarterback. I've always liked him and personally worked him out and looked at possibilities there, but I've loved him when he was at Los Angeles and thought that he was one of the most capable quarterbacks in the NFL, and I think he is today.
We're seeing, Jerry, a few trades going down in the NFL right now, and we're looking at this team and trying to figure out, does another move need to be made? Now, I know Dak hasn't been out there, and so there's still some trying to figure out what this team can do and the potential of it, but is there a potential of the Cowboys making a move to add something to this team, and where would you make an addition?
Absolutely nothing that involves a name of a player or a position that I'm seriously looking at this moment. Not one move. But could that change in 30 minutes? Of course it could. And always looking to get better. But I think the reality of the situation, I would say there's not one.
What are the biggest hurdles to overcome when trying to make a trade in the NFL? I know you love to make deals, but what's the hurdle that's like, oh, man, that makes it difficult to make trades?
Oh, I think first of all, look at the player as to how he fits. I'm not even going to say skill level. I'm going to say a combination of skill level and how he fits with of what you're trying to do in your system. Now, if he comes from a similar, very similar system or concept of offense or defense, then that's one thing that might get your attention. Then I think the other overwhelming thing is the structure and conditions that you would have by bringing the player on. Do you have the same salary structure? Is there a chance for renegotiation of the salary structure to more be compatible with where you are with the cap, those kinds of things? Those things are there too. But the same fundamentals is ability, availability, where you are. Is this a fit for the long term, or is this a fit for this year? All of them very legitimate considerations on a trade. But those are the things that would come through my mind and would be the first things that I would look at if we came up with a name. Usually, if there is a good chance of making the trade, it comes when your phone rings, not when you pick up the phone and ring it.
Jerry, I know there right now, I won't mention names, but there's a Jets player who's demanding a trade right now. And I know being part of Major League Baseball, there's times where as a player you get upset and you go in and you demand a trade. Either you say it or you want your agent to go tell the general manager that you want to be traded. How many conversations do you have with a player to sometimes calm them down in the role that they're in and say that you really still can help our team?
I'm not into a player of ours trying to blast his way out. I'm not into really having a player come to the Cowboys blasting his way out. I call that, which is being discontent, not being able to work with the situation. Those are usually founded in other reasons, and most of them financial a lot of times. And so I don't see that work much, and I really look askance when I see discontent.
Talk with Jerry Jones, as if people didn't already know that, right here on 105 Through the Fan. I'm really curious, and this is one of the reasons that I do this, and I'm not actually a coach or anything like that, because I would look ahead past Detroit and Chicago. How confident are you that this organization and Mike McCarthy can do everything to make sure that nobody looks ahead of Detroit or Chicago or anything like that?
Well, I think the ones that look ahead more than anybody are fans and the players that aren't playing the game. The guys that are playing the game have their days and hours and week, have their hands full just getting ready to play that game. And that guy in front of you that's going to be in front of you is going to occupy most mental and physical as you get ready to play them. So all of this stuff about, looking at from the total team concept as far as being ready to play or what have you, I don't buy that much into that. I don't think it's a factor, and I sure know that these coaches are seasoned professionals, and they know how to warn themselves against that. I don't even give it as much credit as I do sometimes you want something so bad you don't want to say it. It's like thinking about when you were a kid telling somebody what you want for Christmas. It just couldn't come out. You wanted it so bad. But my point is, I give it about that much credibility about what you might want for Santa Claus or what you might be jinxing something, which is a small thing compared to getting ready to play.
So are you saying that I shouldn't tell Santa Claus that I'm looking at this team and this defense and Dak coming back and thinking we can win the Super Bowl? I should not say that to Santa Claus, right?
Yes, that might jinx it. It's about like me kidding and saying, the last Super Bowl I got to be involved in, I said I would never ask for another one if you'd just give me this one. And I've been trying to retrade that deal for 25 years.
We all are. We all are, Jerry. Mike's been asking this question to us a lot and the Tolos out there, and I'm kind of curious your feeling on this. Does winning the division after losing to the Eagles, seeing the start from the Giants the way they are and where the Cowboys sit in the division, does it kind of feel out of reach, or is there another way to look at that?
Well, it doesn't feel out of reach. And so if thinking like that is there's another way, there absolutely is. And we can sit in here and have a great run of it, both in the division and out of the division. You know, your out-of-division games count against that one loss record when you get ready to add up the division. And it's not based on just division. It's based on your total number of wins. So if we outwin anybody in our division, we're gonna have the division, and that is very sound thinking that we can do that. Now we got it to do, which is the big part.
And before we let you go, Jerry, I just heard Micah sat down with coaches to scheme a plan in case another team tries to RPO work against him, like specifically the way the Eagles did. And you've talked about the intensity of the player on and off the field and the way he works and lives that kind of style. And I remember talking with Nate and Tony Tolbert last year, and they said Charles Haley had that kind of talk-the-talk, walk-the-walk personality. Is there a player that, when you look at Micah off the field, the way he approaches it, that shared that kind of intensity off the field?
You know, I thought Emmitt Smith was a great preparer. He'd move a linebacker over in practice and say, that's the way Philadelphia's going to play that linebacker. Move him over. I thought he was a great preparer. I certainly thought that Ware had a great preparation. And as it would turn out, Ware was one of our greatest coaches out there because he would help the offensive lineman prepare, the guy on the other side of him at practice for the opposing team. So, yeah, I think I really do. I think mental preparation, work ethic, you add that to a unique, almost freakish skill level, and that's how you get a DeMarcus Ware. That's how you get a Charles Haley, or hopefully a Parsons.
Well, we appreciate the time as always. We're excited about Dak being back and ready to get back into the win column against Detroit. Thank you very much, good sir.
Okay, good to be on with you guys.
There you go. Jerry Jones, owner and GM of the Dallas Cowboys, and holy cow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.